And the lines are available to you driving around the country tonight. Kevin Rader is the producer, so you let him know if you're calling from your car and you'd like to talk with Gordie Howe. Let's kick it off in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Carl.
Mr. Hockey, Gordie Howe.
Hi, Carl.
Is hockey a more, in your opinion, is hockey a more demanding sport to play than baseball, basketball, or football? In other words, do you have to be in better shape to play the game?
I don't know. I've played a little bit of baseball, and I wasn't the greatest runner in the world, so that was demanding on my part. My beliefs are, if God would have meant us to run, we'd have four legs, so I wasn't that great a runner. But I look at basketball, and that looks very demanding to me because of my running, and then when you look at football, it almost scares you. Hockey came so naturally to us that it's hard to conceive that it was very demanding, but my hopes, at least I thought I had a secret, when I tried to maintain a certain weight, and when I was 16, I was 204, and when I retired at 52 years of age, I was 206, so I thought the maintaining of the weight was the big thing for me, but what it meant to other sports, I do not know. I'm sorry, I wouldn't know that.
What about the training aspect? Because you do skate in spurts. It's not like it's the long run or some of the other demands that maybe the other sports do demand. What about the training aspect for the type of exercise or stamina that you need to play the sport?
Well, we're strictly spurt people. We go out there for 2 minutes, give 100% of what you have, and there's an awful lot of work involved in it, but there's also some gliding, and where you get a good head of steam up, you could roam around the ice a little bit without any striding. So if you're smart, you can maintain a certain amount of energies. But I say on the conditioning part, it's extremely hard on the wind, and then when you get knocked around, you have to, I think hockey, you have to have a pretty good tolerance of pain. But that's not saying the other games do either. But I played baseball, and when I twisted my ankle or banged my toe, it meant I couldn't run. And I know they get a bad knock because they said, you know, somebody got a sprained toe and he's off. Well, the fact is, I've played with a broken foot, but the skate is like a cast. And I put it in the ice before the game and went out and played it, and it numbed it up a little bit, but I couldn't run on a sore foot. So when I think baseball gets a bad knock when they mention that, but if I don't think the majority, I mean in total, that baseball has to be as good a shape as hockey, but then again, I don't know.
Okay, Scott, go ahead, Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Hey, Gordy, nice to talk to you tonight.
Nice to you.
I wanted to congratulate you on all your great achievements. My question deals with the television coverage, and I'm sure you've seen it change over the years that you've been in hockey. And I read an article about them going to direct satellite coverage for the games. And I was wondering what your opinion is and what you'd like to see in the future with the television and where the game should evolve in the 90s.
Well, That again is a tough one because so many local teams have the local interest at heart, but on a natural basis, on a national, I should say, that is what provides the big salaries for a lot of major franchises. So I would like to see on a national basis put back in the game where, say, if I'm in Florida, I can turn on my home TV and see a game and have your choice of one or two. That hasn't been come for a long time. I'm not blaming Sports Channel or anybody else for that. It's just that when they go into the business of it, then they have to have subscribers for that TV, and they did not jump on the bandwagon like they thought they would. So there's some suffering as far as some fans go, but I'd like to have the game brought to the public, and not only in the Northwest. I'd like to right down in Houston and different places. And I know Wayne Gretzky has done a great deal for hockey out in the Western states, but as far as the Southern states go, you have to pour more or less shove it down their throat right now until they get to learn our sport. Because when we were in Houston, we had a tremendous following down there. So if you bring it to them, which I'd like to see, if it be satellite, I think that would cover a lot of areas, and that might be the best way to go.
Norm, where are you driving around the country tonight?
I'm in Portland, Oregon.
Go ahead.
Gordy, it's really a privilege for me to talk to you. I grew up in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yeah, I was just there the other day. We had we played a hockey game. There's a little place called Radisson. And,
yes, I know where it is.
Yeah, well, they lost a rink, so a bunch of the Hollywood stars and some of the older pros, we went out there and put on the exhibition game and raised around $100,000 for the help that certain building.
Terrific. Well, Gordy, I've been a real fan of yours, and I wanted to tell you that you helped me through college, and you never even knew it.
Oh, good.
I got a C in my freshman comp writing an article on Gordy Howe. I looked up all the articles I could. That was back a number of years ago, but I was just, you were my idol even in college, and I was able to even get a B out of that. That was phenomenal for me.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, that we're turning the tables again. I know the Howe family has been out of it for a while, but we're going to get involved where we can help people such as that. This summer, starting July and August, we're going to have a hockey school in August in the Detroit area.
Terrific.
Yeah, and then the last 2 weeks in August we'll be in New Jersey. So we're going to spread ourselves around a little bit and maybe educate a few. And when people phone or write me, what has Mrs. Howe has done, Colleen has put a bunch of the records and dates and important dates together. And when people write these articles like you did, when they phone us or write us, we send that to them to help them along. So every time somebody says they got a good grade, I get, way, boy, I did pretty good that time.
Well, I tell you, I was I liked athletics and sports, and so I wasn't the greatest writer in the world, so it wasn't the greatest article, but it was about a great person, and so I appreciated being able to do it. Listen, you have a nice day.
You too, sir.
And it's a privilege for me to talk to you.
Thank you.
Glad, Norm, we gave you the opportunity to do that, too. That means a lot to us to be able to provide that opportunity here on Sports Byline. Go ahead, Bob, in Eureka, California.
Yes, pleasure to talk to you, Gordy.
Today,
I'd like to ask you a question about the fighting years ago when you played, when a fight broke out, the players would drop their sticks and drop their gloves and go at it. And, of course, hardly any of them wore helmets in. And now they all wear the helmets, and it seems like when a fight breaks out, the gloves don't come off, but the first thing that happens is the stick comes up. And I guess two questions. First of all, if you could maybe, do you know how this evolved, this stick swinging, and if you think that some more severe penalties should be imposed on these players that are using their sticks like this?
Well, yes, I think the respect of the game is left. When the helmets come out, and let's add up front that if the helmets weren't on, we wouldn't get insurance for the game. It's as simple as that, so they have to wear them. That's why they're compulsory. But the rules are in the book. When the stick is above your shoulder, you make contact, you're out of there. At least you should be. And especially, I think more vicious than that is somebody gets a two-handed shot behind somebody when they're hitting them in the back. That's why they're all getting sore backs in the game today, is because of that. They should maybe put a rule in. I was thinking about that, and my beliefs are very simple, that the equipment has improved so much that it almost has hurt the individuals, because we used to, when we hit, we only had a limited amount of equipment, not very protective, just a felt and a little plastic cap on it. And when I hit somebody, I get hurt myself. So that part of the game is out. So anyone can run at anyone and feel safe that he won't get hurt. Where they do get hurt is where they hit him from behind. And I said, when somebody gets hurt being hit from behind, the player who did the hitting should have to sit out the same amount of time, even if it's a injury that puts them out of the game. That should be the big penalty on some of these players. And I go right back to a lot of it, too, is awkwardness. Some of the Europeans, like Alfie Samuelson, he hits with his knee on occasions. I just think that this isn't a vicious attack. He just didn't hit in his country, and now he's trying to learn it over here and shying away from it a little bit. The hip or the knee goes out, and it has hurt a few players. And So I would say if somebody deliberately hurts somebody, my feelings are that they should have to sit out that same period of time. And as far as the fighting goes, in the what they try to do, and we did it in junior hockey right in Michigan when Mrs. Howe ran the junior Red Wings, is what we said, if anybody drops their gloves, that's an automatic 10 minutes. So they put that in the WHA. We used it, and what it did, it kept the players kind of out of the fight because the third man in is gone now, so that's a good ruling. And we never did that before because I learned in a hurry that Jack Stewart, when he's fighting with Milt Schmidt, I went in to give a helping hand, and in between periods, Jack came over to me, left me right off the bench with one hand, and he said, "You stay out of that. That's between Milty and myself." So, yes, it has changed considerably. Now they hire
thugs.
Hire a guy to sit on the end of the bench, and when. And it's so funny. I think about 60% of your fighting or 80% of your fighting penalties is when somebody sticks their muscle on the ice and you stick yours on there. First thing you know, there's a fight. But I guess they're getting the message across.
Okay, go ahead, George, Mobile, Alabama.
Hi, Gordy.
Howdy.
What was it like playing against Bobby Hall? You talked about Brent. What about Bobby?
Easy.
I'm a better to know much about hockey, but I know you and Bobby had a great rivalry.
Yeah, we did, but we had a tremendous friendship, and it still goes. Bobby and I, believe it or not, and this actually happens on a lot of occasions, we were standing there, and two guys were going fighting, and these two guys weren't that much of a respected hockey player anyway. And the statement then is, wouldn't this be a better game if those clowns were out of it? And so Bobby and I had, whenever I hit Bobby or he hit me, it would be a situation that he or I would be warning him. We had to hit because that's the only way you can stop him. But when Bobby was young, and he said it himself, he said, nothing, and what he misses the most about the game, nothing will replace the thrill of grabbing that puck behind your own net and have 18,000 people eyes glued on you as you take it down 200 feet and get a shot on net. So he misses that. And I used to laugh because I knew exactly what he was going to do, and he did it anyway. He was such a powerful kid.
Well, Gordy, I tell you, it's been a pleasure to have you tonight on the show. Thank you for all the great moments you've given me and other hockey fans as well. But I also want to add one other thing. It's one thing to be a winner. It's another thing to be a champion, and you've been a true gentleman. And I just want people to know around the country that Gordy spends a lot of his time giving his time to various charities, doing about 60 events a year. And I want to have you come back again some other time, and I want to talk to you about your creation of the Howe Hall of History and also some of the other things you're involved in. So will you come back and visit with us again soon, sir?
That sounds good to me.
Take care, Gordy, and the best of the family.
Thank you, sir.
Gordy Howe, 32 years. Yep, 32 years in hockey and in the Hall of Fame, and he has left his mark on the game. We'll take a break here, come back on the other side. I'll give you the updated numbers, and we'll continue with Sports Byline.